Okay, so before we get into the session, I just wanted to understand what all of you think affects your mood. Like, if you could give examples, or if any of you could have something to say, what you think affects your mood.
So anyone who wants to sort of start, just go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So food makes me happy in the sense of a chocolate dessert, but in general, it's something else that pisses me off, and the food makes me happy.
Water.
So yeah. It's the ulta answer I think I have for you.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
For me, weather. The weather really affects. If it's sunny, I'm kind of happy. And if it's like raining and like cold.
So the weather affects your mood. Javeri, anything?
Yeah, like, I mean, I was going to say, for me, it's more like, you know, somebody says something, somebody does something, which annoys me, like that, you know, changes my mood more than anything else. So, yeah.
Hi, Bhumika.
Hi.
Sita, maybe you want to share what affects your mood? It doesn't have to be food related, just what affects your mood, you think?
I would say maybe things like situations. Those affect my mood.
Anuj?
I think it's the people around me. So, influenced by the air in the room.
Even for me, I think people is a big factor of my mood. Like, if I'm around people I really love and enjoy being around, I feel happier. And then there are some people who just, like, you know, drain the energy out of you.
Hi, Kashvi. How are you? Do you want to share with us what affects your mood?
So even for me, it would be weather. Like, weather affects my mood. Yeah.
Well, I definitely think like a lot of us said situations. So I think stress. So if I'm under a lot of pressure, for example, like with a deadline that has to go out, and I feel like there's too much pressure on me, then I think that definitely affects my mood and I think the output of what's coming out. So I think, Shikha, that's a lot of us in here already, and we can sort of get going. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jashan. I'm the founder of Sugar and Space, and I have a background in architecture. Sugar and Space is a food-focused design and innovation agency, creating meaningful connections for a sustainable food future. So a lot of our work is, I design spaces for food, work with a team of creative chefs. We normally host events like this in real life where we'll actually be serving you food. So thank you all for bringing your own food to the session today. We 3D print food as well. And we also do talks and lectures at design and hospitality institutes across the country. The latest series is called Food for Thought. It's a series of conversation around food, our bodies, and our minds. And given the current circumstances and scenario, I feel a lot of us have had the opportunity and time to sort of connect closely with our food, but also this has affected our mental health. So it's also given us a lot of space to sort of think over how maybe food is affecting our mood in today's conversation. Or last week we served a virtual meal around PCO, polycystic ovaries, and what kind of food you could eat to sort of help manage that. So Shikha, welcome, and thanks for offering to co-host this session with me.
So for all of those who know me and those who don't know me, I'm Shikha. And I'm a chartered accountant and an equity analyst by profession. But yoga, yoga theory, Eastern philosophies has always been something that's really close to my heart. I was introduced to it in school, and I've been reading about it and studying about it for over 10 years now. So thank you all for joining this session. Hopefully everyone can take back something from it and you enjoy it.
Fabulous. So without further ado, let's get started. Why don't you, Shikha, tell us a little bit about these Eastern philosophies or yoga theories that you've been reading into, so we can sort of have a nice little connection into the session.
Right. So food in general in Eastern philosophies and even otherwise around the world is given a lot of importance. If you've noticed, we always pray before eating. Most cultures rather pray before eating. Food in general is really important because the way knowledge helps your mind to grow, food helps your body to grow. So it's sustenance, and that's why we pray to it. There are mainly three reasons why you pray to food. One is, like I said, sustenance. It helps your body grow. The second one is normally when that you're grateful that you have food on your table. And the third and the lesser known one is that food also has consciousness. So in Eastern philosophies, we believe...
Sorry, I'm just going to mute everyone else on here for a bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so... food too has consciousness. In Eastern philosophies, we don't believe anything as good or bad. It's just from a place of higher consciousness and a place of lower consciousness. So to give you an example, if say a friend of yours bitched about you, that comes from a place of lower consciousness. It's not necessarily bad. And if you forgive someone, it comes from a place of higher consciousness. It's not necessarily good. So similarly, food has a lower consciousness than humans are believed to have. So when you pray to food, you are trying to transfer some of your consciousness into that so that that food can help your body grow better and help you to be stronger. In Hinduism, we also pray to the goddess Annapurna. Anna literally meaning food and Purna meaning complete or full. So there are literally in Hinduism and in Eastern philosophies in general, food is considered very important, and it's a big part of how you grow and your mood and how you behave.
Fabulous. So for all of this to start sort of making sense, we usually always at Sugar and Space with any of our events, or we call them experiences, try and involve at least more than one of your senses. So it's not just about tasting, but food is sort of about, tying in sound along with texture, along with taste, along with the whole ambience, and especially my architectural background sort of lends me to sort of think about the ambience a lot. Given that we're all sort of restricted to a screen, we're going to try and recreate an ambience to start influencing your mood a little bit. So again, for those of you who've joined on late, welcome. Just make sure that you have some food along with you. So I'm just going to repeat the food groups that we're going to go over. So food group one was either some fresh herbs. So I have mint with me. You could have any fresh fruit or some nuts that are sort of unsalted. So that's going to be food group one. Food group two is going to be either a shot of black coffee, some dark chocolate, or some hot sauce if you're feeling adventurous. And finally, food group three is either some chips or I have some popcorn with me, some garlic or some onion. All right. So for the first eating experience, let's call it, we're going to play a piece of music for you guys paired with each of your food items. So the first food group that you want to have is the chocolate or the coffee or the hot sauce with you. And sort of as we play this piece of music, just whenever you do feel like either sipping on your item of food or biting into it, just go ahead and feel comfortable. Keep watching Shikha because she's super entertaining whenever we've done the run-throughs of this. Okay, guys. Just give me a thumbs up if you guys can see my screen. Shikha, can you see it?
Yeah, it's just buffering it.
Okay, cool.
But Joshon, I'm not getting the sound.
You're not getting the sound? One sec. I'm going to just share it again. sorry about that. It should be now. Welcome to internet, sorry. That was group one. We're gonna swiftly, before, don't overthink it, just we'll move on to group number two. And that'll be your chips or popcorn, garlic or onion.
Inside your mind.
And we'll quickly move on to the third food group.
So that's this one's nice.
Fresh herbs or nuts or fruit, whatever you have with you. Enjoy, guys. Shikha, it wants you to wait before you really have fun. I'm just gonna do one thing. I'm just gonna pause it for a sec till it just buffers a bit. And I think we're good now.
Hope when you take that jump, you don't feel the fall.
Screaming your name.
Hope if everybody runs, you choose to stay. Hope that you fall in love and it hurts so bad.
That was the food and mood pairing experience. Before we break it down for you guys, we would love to hear, we heard three very distinct pieces of music, right? Any comments on how each one of those maybe made you feel? There's no right and wrong answer. So anyone who wants to share, just feel free to unmute yourself and let us know.
So I thought like the first song, it was like very empowering and I was like sipping coffee and it just really felt very empowering. And like the last one, it was very like optimistic and joyous. Yeah.
Anyone else?
I think the banana one made me feel happy. That was the last one.
And do you think the banana did anything to that happiness or no?
I think it could partly be the music as well. It was kind of like an uplifting song, so that's why.
Lovely. Anyone else?
I felt like the combination of the mint leaves and the last song kind of was really good. I think made me feel more active and enhanced my mood for sure. Yeah.
And do you normally chomp on mint leaves, just out of curiosity?
No, not really.
Okay. A friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, actually introduced me to this. She sits with a bowl of mint leaves before every dinner and she'll just like be eating it. So if there's like a jug of iced tea, she'll make everyone else drink the iced tea and then just fish the mint leaves out to eat raw. So, anyone else?
So, I love Phantom of the Opera. So, even though I was eating garlic, which was raw and disgusting, I like felt really happy while the second song was playing.
Lovely, thanks. Anyone else? Okay, cool. So, I think Shikha, maybe you can actually break it down for us and explain to everyone maybe what it is about each of those pieces.
Right.
And why we recommended those certain pairings along with them.
Okay. So according to the Vedas, the entire universe and food even is bifurcated into three gunas. They are tamas, rajas and sattva. That might seem a bit heavy, but I'll break it down for you. So sattva is a light force. It's the force of light. Tamas is a heavy force. It's the force of inertia. And rajas is an active force. It's the force of action. For example, if I had an idea to write a poem, the idea, the thought is a sattvic force. The inertia, where I'm feeling lazy, where I'm like, okay, I don't need to write this right now. Maybe I'll remember it. Maybe I'll write it tomorrow. That is tamas, the force of inertia. And the actual action of going and writing it, that is rajas, the force of rajas. So the food we gave you, that is also bifurcated in these gunas. So for example, your fruit, your fresh leaves, all of that was sattvic food. It was light food to enhance your mood, to make you feel lighter. The coffee we gave you, the coffee or the bitter stuff or the hot sauce that you had, that was rajas, the force of action. And the potato chips or the wafers or the mushroomy, garlicky stuff you had, that was all the force of tamas, which made you feel inertia. So if I had to explain this, the entire world or the entire universe functions based on these gunas. And an excess of either will make you feel an imbalance. So if there's over, if you're feeling too, like you're feeling really down and you're feeling very grounded, that's because you have an excessive amount of tamas. An excessive amount of tamas will make you feel lethargic, won't make you feel like doing anything, will make you feel lazy. So that's literally food that's stale, packet food, really garlicky food, mushrooms, fried food. Then there's sattva, which is the light force, which will make you feel really light and will make you feel almost like you're flying. So that's your fresh fruits, fresh salads, fresh herbs, fresh vegetables, stuff like that. An excess of sattva will leave you with many ideas, but not the will for any of them to materialize. So you won't actually want to work on any of those ideas. And the last one, which is rajas, that is the force of action. So coffee, something that's really sweet, like an overdose of sugar, bitter food, spicy food, that makes you feel really active. So an overdose of rajas will make you feel anxious, will make you feel hyper, will make you feel overexcited, and you'll just feel like doing things without actually maybe having a reason to do them. So these are the bifurcations according to the Vedas on food and the rest of the universe. But we asked all of you a question, or we were rather having this conversation when most of you entered, about your mood. And most of you said stuff like the weather or the people you're surrounded by. And those were all external factors. But your mood is always affected, or rather is a function of two things. One is the external factor, which is the food you eat, the weather, the people you meet, your job, any of that. And the second is the internal factor. That is how your mind reacts to those things. So for example, I might meet someone who I don't like, and that might be draining as an external factor, but if my thoughts don't react to that, then it might not affect my mood as negatively as it would have otherwise. So similarly with food, how you think about food while you eat that food can have an impact on the kind of relationship you have with food. Of course, it's of paramount importance what you eat, how nutritional it is, whether you're having a lot of tamas, a lot of sattva, a lot of rajas, but how you feel when you eat that food, your thoughts when you eat that food. Like, are you conscious? Are you thinking about something else? Are you thinking about how much weight you're going to gain after eating this food? Are you thinking about you might not like this food already before tasting it? Those thoughts will affect your relationship with food. And then and these relationships we form with food are actually lifelong. So for example, when I was a child, and like some of you have known me since I was a child, I was a scrawny, skinny child. I hated vegetables. If anyone gave me greens, I'd make a face. And before having eaten the food, I'd already decide I'm not going to like this. But now, as I've started growing up and I've started reading more, I have an open-ended relationship with food. I will taste anything you give me and then decide whether I like it or I don't like it. So my yoga teacher says the body is nothing but hardened thought. And if you want to know what your body is going to look like tomorrow, you have to think of what your thoughts are today. So similarly, if we think positively about food while we're eating it, while we're experiencing the food, then it'll make a big difference to our lives and what we eat. It's like almost like electricity, you know, it's everywhere around us and like it's always there. But to actually charge your phone, you're going to have to plug it in. So similarly with food, there's a lot of nutritional value. But to actually gain from it, or rather to gain the most amount of benefit from your food, you're actually going to have to be conscious about what you eat, how you feel about it, and how you think about it.
That's amazing. So is there any particular way that we could sort of maybe start training ourselves to start developing this consciousness around food, for example?
Yeah, I feel like consciousness, once it enters one part of your life, it enters all parts of your life. Like if I'm conscious about my food, I'm automatically going training my mind to be conscious about my friendships, conscious about my relationships, conscious about my work. All of that is, and I personally do it by meditating. It's like a couple of minutes I give myself to just be conscious. I don't even decide about what exactly, but just to be conscious in the moment and feel the present.
So could you then maybe take us through a little food meditation today?
Yes, definitely.
So I think all of us have some food in front of us. So I guess out of the three food groups or anything you have in front of you, just pick or focus on any one item. So I'm going to do that with this orange that I'm going to open up right now. And then Shikha, if you want to get us started.
Yes.
That'll be great.
Okay. So let's all sit upright. Roll your shoulders back. Make sure your back is straight. Keep the food that you're going to use for this meditation in front of you. And then close your eyes. I'm just going to give everyone a second to be ready. And then I'll begin with the meditation. All right, sit straight. The food is in front of you. Close your eyes and let's go through this meditation together. Take in the fragrance of the food in front of you. Take a deep inhalation and let the food be in your lungs. The smell of the food be in your lungs. Experience the smell. Notice that gap between the inhalation and the exhalation. When you exhale, along with that fragrance, exhale all your insecurities. Exhale all forms of stress. Exhale anything that makes you feel insecure about your body and its different types. With your next inhalation, inhale with the thought that this food is going to make my body grow. This food is going to help me become stronger. Almost promise your body that this food will help your body to grow. And with the next exhalation, exhale out any insecurities, any doubts you have about your body, about the kind of food you have, about your eating habits. With the next inhalation, take a bite of the food. Try not to label this food, because no food is good or bad. This food is neither savory, nor sweet, nor sour. Just experience it. Do not label it. This food is going to help your body grow. So don't judge it. With your next exhalation, exhale with the belief that this food is going to help you. And again, exhale out any forms of anxiety that you have surrounding food, health, or your body. Be conscious of the sounds you're hearing, of the flavors you're tasting. And again, try not to label the food. Your purpose in this moment is just to experience it. Try to be present in this moment. There is nothing except for you, your food, its flavors, and its fragrance. With your next exhalation, exhale out any discomfort you're feeling in any part of your body, any itchiness, any tingling. And know that your body is here to support you. It is here to grow, and it is here for you. Take 6 more breaths. Either smell the fragrance of your food or take bites, whatever you prefer. But being conscious of the food you're having, being conscious of the experience, try not to label the food and try to exhale any inhibitions or insecurities you may have about food and health. Once you are done with your 6th breath, open your eyes, but remain with that consciousness, with that center, and with that force you have felt of the food.
Amazing. I know we were not meant to maybe label how it tasted, but that was one sweet orange, I must say. So that was it, guys. We sort of took you through different moods or emotions by simulating different environments. We paired certain food groups along with those certain moods based on the 3 gunas or tattvas, as Shikha explained. And finally, we've spoken about establishing a positive relationship between food, our bodies, and our minds through a quick food meditation. So we normally do partner with different artists across the globe and work on these food meditations or meal meditations for mindfulness. Following this session, I will send over a link so you can take a look on the website and sort of practice this yourself, either with a piece of fruit or before a meal. And it's just something that will really enhance the way or transform the way you just perceive the same food that you're probably eating every day. And for those of you who enjoyed Shikha's session of the food meditation, we're going to be working on editing and getting her session up on the website as well. So stay tuned for that too. So we'll open up for questions now. Any questions or comments related to food, mood, the gunas, tattvas, or your experience today? Please do feel free to ask.
So I have a question.
Yes,
Anna. So what is the most appropriate way to sort of balance out each of these three gunas, like you mentioned? And is there possibly a way to sort of behaviorally change reactions to certain, like you explained, right? So, for example, my mood is highly dependent on the people in the room. So yeah. Is there a way to bring about a balance in that by sort of organizing the way we eat or what we eat?
Okay. So before I give any answer as to how you can balance your diet, I'm not a nutritionist. I have not studied nutrition. So please don't go by my word. You can obviously consult a professional. But, so again, it differs for different body types. And like I said, not only the food you eat, but the entire universe is made out of these tattvas according to the Vedas. So if I, for example, even while we played the music, the last song was supposed to be a sattvic song, which made you feel light. For some people, their immediate reaction to that would be to have the sattvic food, which is the light food, your apple or your banana or whatever it was. While for some people, your first instinct will be to balance that out. So you'll maybe go for something that's tamasic to make you feel more grounded. So again, it completely depends on your body type. But the only advice I can give you is to be attentive to your body, because your body is never wrong. So if you feel like you're feeling really lethargic today, even though you've slept an adequate amount, you're not sick, you don't have any problems with your health, that means maybe you're having too much of tamas. So maybe you can try to balance that out with something like fruits, something fresh. Try not to have packet food. Try not to have stuff that's very cheesy. If you're dealing with something like anxiety, or you're very restless, almost like you have ants in your pants and you can't sit down in a single place, then maybe reduce your caffeine intake. Maybe reduce having spicy food. So I'd like to give you my personal example. 2 years ago, my hemoglobin was at 6.5. That's almost half of what a healthy body requires. And when we consulted the doctor told my mom, we need to put her on a drip. And like, you know, let's just get this sorted now. And my mom was like, okay, let's take it slow. Let's see whether there's any improvement in a month. And if not, we'll do what we have to. I went to my yoga teacher and all she asked me to do was reduce my dairy consumption, because that's a bit difficult on your body to digest. So the beetroot, the supplements I was taking would not be digested as quickly if I was having dairy. And the second thing she told me to do was to be very conscious about the food I eat. To not label it and just to accept it as something that's helping my body to grow. And I kid you not, in 4 to 5 months, my hemoglobin was at 11. And it's a big jump from where I was before. It's still not the adequate amount, but you get what I mean. And the second part of your question was that how you can change how your mind thinks. So my yoga teacher again says this really beautiful thing in yoga class. She says, if you've conquered something in an asana, you've conquered it in life. So for example, if I'm stretching in a particular asana, like for example, say I'm doing a very difficult asana and it's causing my body to stretch a lot and I'm feeling anxious, angry, scared about it. If I conquer that emotion in that moment, I have conquered it for life. So if I am placed in a situation, in a scenario in my life, which causes me to feel agitated, angry, uncomfortable, I will go back to how I felt when I did during the asana and I might conquer that emotion. So similarly for food, if you are eating something that makes you feel not really good, like for me, I really don't like, I don't know what, like I don't like French beans at all when my mom cooks it. I'm just like, no, please no. But now I'm starting to give it a chance. And you know, just accept it the way it is. So Anuj, I feel like once you start accepting situations for the way they are and let your mind stay at ease in any situation, whether it's food, whether it's exercise, or when you're meeting your friends, your mind will automatically do that in every other situation.
Okay, that's an interesting take back. Thanks.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more thing. So are these gunas also related to your prakriti? You know, like how in Ayurveda you have three prakriti,
yeah.
Vata, Pitta and Kapha. So are these gunas
related
to those, by any chance?
So, okay. So I'll take it a bit. This might get a bit theoretical for people who aren't interested in it. So I'll just take a step back. According to Hindu philosophy, the whole universe was made by Purusha and Prakriti. So Purusha is what remains constant and which cannot move. And Prakriti is the force of movement or Shakti, like we call it, which is ever evolving, which is your emotions, which is everything that's not mobile. Sorry, that's immobile. So everything that moves that can be changed is Prakriti, and everything that can't be changed is Purusha. So now when you talk about these Prakritis like Vata, Kapha and Pitta, the food you have obviously plays a big impact on it because it's something that can change. So for example, Pitta happens more often or not, more often than not with tamasic food. Like food that's heavy causes pit in your body.
The fire element.
The fire element, right. So similarly, you'll find a correlation between it, but it's a far correlation. Because these are again gaps in your body. So it's more related to the emotional, like the thought aspect of food, according to me, than it is to the gunas.
Okay, so it doesn't matter, right? If a pit person is eating like all like, food from all these three gunas. Like what if a pit person likes sattva food, like light food, which is not like, which doesn't happen, but like, what if someone just, you know, like that one particular gunaka food. So there's no, right?
No, see, like I said at the beginning of the session too, that any, if you have an excess of any of the gunas, it'll cause an imbalance in your body. So a lot of us come with the idea that having sattvic food is better than having tamasic food or rajasic food. But that's not true. You need a balance of the gunas. So whether you have like a pit problem or a kapha problem, or whether you don't have one, you should not be having an excess of either. And according to me again, like for example, these kapha, pit and vata happen due to emotion. So it's like when I'm really scared, I cause a blockage in my body. So the prana for everyone else is life force. So the breath, that gets stopped from going there because I've caused this blockage of fear. So that blockage becomes vata. Or a gap of that blockage, if there's too much air in that space, becomes kapha.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So then Shikha, how would you explain, I get that, okay, mint or fruit made me feel light. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
How would you explain me feeling super happy when I eat a McDonald's burger, which is probably not sattvic, or like a pizza from Domino's? Because I know that makes me happy, at least in that moment. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, so this is literally me because I'm obsessed with pizza. But like I said, and like I told Kashvi also, that what you eat is obviously important because it has nutritional value. But your thought process while eating the food, the way you feel while eating the food is a lot more important. So for example, if someone's got me pizza today, I go into it thinking I'm going to be happy. Like when I see that pizza, my face lights up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be really happy eating this. So that automatically has an impact on how that works on my body and on how I feel about it. So similarly, if I look at that pizza and I feel like, oh my God, I'm going to put on so much weight, it's so cheesy, I might actually end up putting on weight. It's all about how you think and how you relate to certain foods.
Thanks. Anyone else? Any questions? Yeah, Bhumika.
Yeah, so I had a question. So I'm like, I like what you said about being mindful and conscious and aware about when you eat food, it changes your relationship with it. And you mentioned that one of the ways to do that is through meditation. Are there like other ways to develop this mindfulness when you're eating?
Yeah, so if you actually, I'm really happy my mom's not around because otherwise she'd have started shouting right now. But I have a habit, if I'm watching something on TV, I need to be eating something along with it. Like I'll sit with a bag of chips, I'll sit with popcorn. And you know, just concentrating on what you're eating can make all the difference. Like I said, I have a preconceived notion that I'm not going to like French beans. Whether my mom makes it, whether my nanny makes it, whether my aunt makes it. But a couple of weeks ago, I had French beans in office and I liked it. So just being conscious about eating what you're eating. When you're eating, try not to be on your phone. Try not to, you know, watch TV. Again, it's like with everything else. Like when you're with, say, your friend or your parents and you're having a conversation with them, it's disrespectful, right, to be on your phone. It's disrespectful to be watching TV while they're trying to have a conversation with you. So treat food with the same respect because you're trying to form a relationship with food as well, right? So similarly, focus on food while you're having food. Mm-hmm. And again, like another thing is, you know, with all these, with like Instagram having all these models and these people with amazing bodies and all of that, when we eat food, we're like, oh God, I had fried food today. I'm going to put on so much weight. I haven't exercised today, but I ate this today. So let's try not doing that. Because again, we're trying to form a relationship with food. It's not something that you're just eating today and I'm never going to have again tomorrow. It's a lifelong thing.
Thank you.
Very cool. Anyone else? Okay, so I think that means, Shikha, we were reasonably successful, if I may say so, in sort of making people understand, let's say, the correlation between food and mood based on these philosophies. I had one last question because I feel like we made a lot of references, particularly to maybe the Vedas or Hinduism,
right,
you know, religion. I'm curious if you know or have any opinion on, is this sort of something that's Hinduism focused, or is it something that's across, let's say, Christianity, Islam, Judaism?
Okay, so I want to make this clear. I don't confer to any religion. So I don't believe in Hinduism. I don't believe in Christianity or in Islam. I prefer to take what I like from each religion and believe in that. I don't think this is very much a part of Christianity. It's more of an Eastern school of thought, but it's not particularly Hinduism. Like you'll find similar concepts in, let's say, Jainism, in Buddhism, in like all Eastern schools of thoughts, because they believe more in this pervasive consciousness of everything, like pervasive consciousness of food and of all the elements. But what I spoke about, what I said about the tattvas, that's from the Gita.
Cool, very good, thanks. So one more thing, a lot of you asked questions that sort of, like Shikha made a disclaimer that she is not a nutritionist. And a lot of you asked also questions about, let's say, balancing those foods and opinions on that, or stress and that sort of leading. So all today we address food and mood. Next week we do have a nutritionist joining us and we're going to be talking emotional eating. So we'll dive deeper into this relationship that we sort of have with food and talk about everything from stress to boredom, to different sort of triggers or coping mechanisms. And when we sort of misuse food and use food, and a lot of us do it even unconsciously or subconsciously. So you can, in the similar way, you can sign up for next week's session. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about cravings and snacking during PMS. So I know a lot of people who are very close to me who really like go all out that week and really don't necessarily know what to eat, or then feel bad about having snacked during PMS with the junky food. So we'll do a virtual meal service again for that. We'll be sharing the recipes. So that's the week following emotional eating. If you have any questions for Shikha and me, just feel free to either reach out to us on Instagram, via email, or you have our phone numbers. And thanks, Shikha, for hosting this. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you for letting me be a part of it. Thank you, everyone, for joining this session.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.